just before I start, I wanted to say I really wanted to come down here when Father Pasinger was when you had the honored him. He was such a blessing. He's been such a blessing in my life and so many others. I'll tell you a quick story. When I used to come down when I became a priest, we had to come down to Jacksonville, and Father Pasinger was the archdeacon, which meant that all of us clergy, when we went down there, he would tell us exactly where we should be, what we should be doing, how we should do it. And for me, see, that is really wonderful. I love to know, at least to look like that I know what I'm doing. So I really was blessed by Father David's ministry in that. And honestly, I know you won't tell Bishop Chuck, and I know this might be on tape, but you know what? We just haven't had anybody like David, like Father David, to actually help us to be to do those things the way we're supposed to do them. So so now when we have convocations, and I'm not going to say where they are, but you know what? Nobody knows what they're doing. It's just like total chaos. And David was at our last one, and I literally teared up. I thought, I'm going, oh, Lord, if that someone would get the anointing of David Pasinger. And but I thank God for David and his ministry, his family, so special, and he's been a special man in my life, and I'm really thankful for all those things he did. And I'm thankful for the new rector that's here. I know he's getting his feet wet. I know that he's maturing. I think dyeing his beard gray was a little going overboard to try to show everybody how mature he is. But I know he's going to do the heater. He's going to do a great job. I'm really excited about Father Scott. I'm telling you. You're in for a new day. I'm telling you, God is going to do some powerful, incredible things here, things that many of you have been praying about for years. I believe that with everything in my heart. Our church in Birmingham, which I had to go back for the last year and a half and be the interim rector, I guess, or whatever, until we got a new rector just today, where our new rector is there for his first day. But God has taken us through a lot, many similar things in the paths of our churches. And I'm telling you, God has got so much for us all and for you. So I'm thankful for all that. Now, what am I doing here? Well, I wrote a little, I don't know really what to call it, a little paragraph or two about something a few years ago when I was really just kind of going through a lot in having to do the ministry that I'm doing. I think it came after, it was pretty shortly after I had been asked to leave Brazil. As soon as I got to Brazil a few years ago, they sent me, they immediately detained me and took my visa, and then they gave me a new visa and said I could be there. And then they came to my hotel, and the federal agents there forced me to leave Brazil the next morning. And it was a little discouraging. Some things sometimes get a little discouraging. I wrote this. I wish I didn't know, that's what it's called. I wish I didn't know what an abortion is. I wish I didn't know that the word abortion referred to a little child's face being cut into pieces and with their little blue or brown eyes separated from their tiny cheekbones, with their tiny legs and arms butchered like pieces of meat in a butcher shop. I wish I didn't know that their torsos were cut up and disposed of like leftovers from a family meal. I really, really wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't know that abortion is not some political position that you adopt if you're a conservative Christian or an anti-woman zealot. I wish I could rationalize the horror of killing children so that I could spend more of my time watching my beloved sports teams, or maybe be with my beautiful daughter on her birthday, which is January 22nd, which is every year. I wish I could be with her instead of standing with the hundreds of thousands who gather in Washington to commemorate Roe v. Wade. I wish I didn't know that the blood of little babies runs through the sewers of my city, so that I could go somewhere fun and beautiful on Saturdays with my wife instead of going to an abortion clinic and being abused and ridiculed by deceived human beings who are supported by every authoritative cultural entity in the world, including the state, national, and local government, as well as the entire educational system at every level. I just wish I didn't know. It would make my life so much easier. After writing that, I called a friend of mine, and his name is Troy Newman. Troy is a board member of the Center for Medical Progress, who has revealed the videos that many of you may have seen concerning what's going on at Planned Parenthood with the selling of baby parts. And we talked, and we've been friends for many, many, many years, and we were just talking. I said, you know, I'm just sick and tired of this, especially this one abortion clinic that I have to go to over and over again. 20-something years I'd been going out to that abortion clinic. I said, I'm really tired of it. I said, what do you think? He said, why don't you pray, Terry? I said, well, I pray. He said, no, why don't you pray specifically according to the will of God? And I said, well, okay. He said, do you believe that it's the will of God for that abortion clinic to close? I said, yeah, I do. I believe it is. He said, well, you know, the scripture says that if you pray anything according to his will, he hears you and he will answer you. And so I began to pray that, and then I began to pray, him and I both together, a scripture from Matthew 10, verse 26. Do not be afraid of them, for nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing is secret that will not be made known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And so we began to pray that prayer, that God would reveal to us many things. We needed to know a lot of things, and my assistant Sarah Howell was praying with us also. We needed to know a lot of things that were happening inside this abortion clinic. There was a federal injunction that told us that we couldn't get across the street. We couldn't get on the sidewalk in front of it. And so one of the first things that God revealed to us through our legal team was that that injunction did not apply to all of us. It only applied to four individual people that had happened 17 years ago. But for 17 years, we were kept off that sidewalk. And so first of all, God revealed that it was okay. So our attorneys just said, yeah, it's fine. If you can go over there. Now, you may get arrested by the federal government. You may go to jail for a little while, but we will win. I'm going, well, that's very comforting. And but we were determined to do the will of God. And so we did go pray, and we were sued. My church was sued. I was sued. Other people were sued. And we ended up winning in court, and that injunction was removed. And we were able to go over there and pray with people. And so I'm going to show you a short video. It's about 6 minutes long that has to do with what some of the things that happened. It's really, this video kind of encapsulates 2 years. So it's not everything is in it, but you'll see some different things in this video. You'll see as we challenged the injunction and prayed on the sidewalk, you'll see young people that came out with us. You'll see all different kinds of Christian people working together in the pro-life community. You'll see a little girl that's in this with her dad. It'll show a picture of this little girl that clinic had been. She had not been allowed to ever go on that sidewalk her entire life, and now you'll see her there. You'll see how an abortionist that was doing abortions there in Birmingham, but was delivering babies in a major pro-life or in a major OBGYN clinic in Atlanta. He was delivering babies there, killing babies in Birmingham, and how God revealed that to us, and how Sarah Howell and I and some other people went to Atlanta and were told that by his, when we confronted the people that he worked with, his practice, 12 other doctors there, they told us that he would never, ever be allowed to go to Birmingham and do abortions again. And you'll see just a lot of other things, people that were involved. But mostly what you'll see is how God answers prayer. And how God, when we work together in unity with other people, when we become the body of Christ and really work, we have unity of spirit, then God moves. So the first part of this you're going to see is writing, so you won't hear anything. So I want to give you, it gives you enough time to read what's up on the screen. So, and then the video will start. So I just ask you to give a listen to this if you're able to, and hopefully be encouraged. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Again, just seeing that. And of course, they tried to stay open for another year, and we continued to have to fight them after that. But they have gone away, and the owner of that clinic now owns the only abortion clinic in Mississippi that's left, and one in Columbus, Georgia. And she is just in an article just a couple days ago, again, referred to herself, just really is very proud that she has named herself the abortion queen. So we pray for her. We have a Facebook page called Pray for Diane Derzes. We pray for her to become like us, to become redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And forgiven, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we're out there, is to just offer mercy, forgiveness, grace, peace, and love, and hope to people that have been deceived by this culture of death. In the some of the videos, again, you may have seen from the Planned Parenthood thing, which we're really. We're really glad to see that that's happened. Troy Newman, again, who you saw there on the video, and David Delayden, both very instrumental in making those videos available. And Troy is also, he was just detained and arrested in Australia and shipped back home, and he was deported from Australia. And it's kind of ironic, I guess, in a way that, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but probably 2 years ago, Troy could have gotten into Australia, but he has been so effective in the work that he's done, both with Center for Medical Progress and with closing down abortion clinics. He's been responsible for closing down many, many clinics like this, or partially responsible, been involved in it. And so they know he's effective. They don't want that word to get out, so put him in jail for 3 days and then sent him home. And so Sarah also works for Troy Newman and myself, and so she is, Sarah Howell, my assistant, is blessed to be one of the only assistants in that I know of in the pro-life movement who has had both of her bosses sent home from other countries for doing pro-life work. So Sarah gets to... Yeah. One of the videos, Kate Dyer, is the CEO of STEM Express. STEM Express was one of the organizations that was purchasing the body parts from Planned Parenthood. And she was talking on the video, and she said, "Oh yeah, if you have intact cases, which we've done a lot, intact, in other words, fully grown babies." She says, "We have them a lot. We've done a lot of them. We sometimes ship those back to our lab in its entirety," she says. And then she laughs and says, "We tell them to tell the lab that it's coming, because they don't want to open the box and go, 'Oh my God.'" And she's laughing while she's saying this on the video. They don't want to open the box and say, oh my God. They don't want to open the box and say, oh my God. Well, God has opened the box for all of us to see what happens. For all of us to know what is done to these little babies. That there's no little blob of tissue. That there's nothing, it's not about a woman's choice with her own body. There are two people. You know what is so crazy? That they would continue to say this, that it's only about the woman, only about the woman. When they're selling the body parts, you know what? A woman doesn't have two heads. A woman doesn't have two hearts, two brains, four legs. It takes two people. There are two people that are involved. And of course, the woman is horribly damaged by this culture of death. But there are clearly two people. If there weren't two people, they couldn't harvest the body parts, the body, baby parts of these children. So we're saying, I believe as a nation, as the people of God, we're saying, we've seen the box. The box is now opened. And we're saying, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. We're saying, oh my God, is this really happening? Oh my God. But we're saying it also like this. Oh my God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Oh my God, come now. Come now and reveal to your people those things that are there and show us and help us to respond to you, Lord. Help us to respond to you in the right way in this horror that we see. Oh my God, my God. And God is hearing his people. God is hearing his people, and he's waking his people up. Just a few weeks ago, we had in Birmingham, we organized the Planned Parenthood Sells Baby Parts protest prayer rally out in front of the Planned Parenthood in Birmingham, and we had between 400 and 500 people came out. Many of them have never been to anything like that. And they were out there, and in their hearts, they were saying, oh my God, what can I do? How can I do something? And I say, oh my God, and I pray to my God and say, Lord, please continue to wake us up. Please continue to wash us and to cleanse us from the filth, from the horror, from the damage, from the that damaged hearts, the damaged emotions, the physical damage, the spiritual damage that this culture of death brings not only to our nation, but to the whole world. Where we know that just today, just like every day, 120,000 babies will die by abortion in this world today. Not 4,000 or 5,000 American babies. That's just a part of it. Because you know what? The Bible doesn't say, for God so loved America that he gave his only begotten son. It says, for God so loved the world. And this whole world is a part of our community. Every Christian that lives in any place in the world is a part of us as much as more than. We're citizens with them and friends and neighbors with them more than we are just a citizen of the United States of America. And I'm proud to be and glad to be a citizen of the United States. But it's about more than just America. 120,000, 46 million children will be killed this year. By abortion. You add that up for the last 40 years. And you want to speak about a Holocaust. There's a Holocaust. And I say, Lord, please wake up and wash. First of all, wake up and wash your shepherds. You know, sometimes it is this way. The people go, they're ready. And I believe the people of our churches in America, they're ready. They're out there. They're going like, what do we do, Pastor? How do we do this? You're our shepherd. How do we fight this? And sometimes the shepherds, unfortunately, are silent. They're whatever, for whatever reason. And, you know, they're God's shepherd. They're called by him. They belong to him. And I trust and believe that God has called all of them into the ministry to serve him. But God, I just pray that God would wake them up. Wake up your shepherds, Lord. Wake them up. So they can lead, so they can be servant leaders of their churches, so they can respond to this horrendous thing. We've had too many times in history when the pastors of churches didn't take the lead. Slavery went on in this country too long because pastors wouldn't stand up and fight and believe and quote scripture and say, this can't happen. This takes away the dignity of humankind. We had pastors in Germany that wouldn't speak up, that allowed a Holocaust like the world has never seen before. And pastors were silent. We had a civil rights movement in my home. You know, I still have to defend that so much, you know, because I'm from Birmingham, and Birmingham had such a black eye from what happened. You know, and we had white pastors in our city that I know they loved God. I know that they were saved, but they were silent. And not only silent, they allowed black people to be dehumanized in our city. I'm saying, not this time, Lord. Wake up your shepherds. Wake them up now. Help them to lead us into the promised land. And then wake up, Lord. I say, wake up and wash your people. Ezekiel 36:33. Thus says the Lord God, on that day I will cleanse you from all your iniquities and cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste. The waste places will be rebuilt. You know what? We're looking for, how many of you want revival? I mean, revival in the land, throughout the land. Man, I'm telling you, I sense revival. I believe in revival. I believe revival is coming. But I'm telling you, revival, part of revival is repentance. Part of revival is saying, Lord, you know, I want to lay my life down for everything. You know, he was the good shepherd. He laid his life down for the sheep. And that's how we have to be. And as we lay our life down, as we really decide, God, we want your will, not my will, to be done. We're going to see revival. Revival is at our doorstep. And I believe that scripture from Ezekiel, it just makes it plain that as we are cleansed from our iniquities and we turn from our wickedness, that the waste places will be rebuilt. And that's speaking about revival. And man, I'm excited about that. And it's coming. And then, Lord, wake up and wash your nation. Isaiah 1, verse 17. Learn to do right, promote justice.